This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's program will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
You have lived 50, 60, 70 years, and now the question is, what do you want to have happen during the rest of your life? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, life is so precious. Help us to remember that it is your gift to us, and we are dependent upon you for every breath that we draw. So help us to be good stewards of this life, and may we be fed from your word as we consider this subject today. May you be the Lord of our years, even as they are spent here on this earth. Amen. Friends in Christ, you have lived on this earth for a number of years, and now you face the question, what do you want to have happen during the rest of your life? What do you want to have happen during the rest of your life? You might say, well, that's a question for a young person who has good health and many years before him or her. Yes, it is. But I believe if you read the Bible very carefully and face life realistically, it is also a question for a person who has major physical problems and not many years left. Let me introduce you to a man who needs no introduction. You have heard a lot about him if you've gone to church at all. His name is Paul. Now, Paul had a lot of physical problems. We don't know specifically what they were, but he was not a well man. Paul was sitting in prison. In fact, he was on death row. And Paul is asking the question, what do I want to have happen in the remaining time that I have left to live on this earth? I want to read you our text for today. It's found in the third chapter of Philippians, verses 7 to 10. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and His fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. In other words, this is a blessed portion of Scripture that shows what Paul wants to happen in his life in the remaining time that is left. I would urge you to read it often. Once more, Philippians 3, verses 7 to 10. And from this text, then, let me draw some powerful thoughts that can have a profound effect upon your life and mine if we'll only take this word seriously. Now then, what did Paul want to have happen for the rest of his life? He says here, I want to have a righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I don't want a righteousness that I attain by trying to keep the law of God. Now, what is he talking about? Somebody might say, well, I listened to your sermon today, and I agree. I've got to try to be a better man. I've got to begin to take the Ten Commandments more seriously. I've got to begin to just be a better father or wife or mother, whatever else it might be. In other words, it's what I'm going to do. No, Paul says, that is not what I want. I want to have a righteousness that comes from God. In other words, it's a righteousness that God builds in my life and is seen there. When people look at me, they say, there's something that's happened to this person. There's something that the human being just can't explain. What is it that's happening? And Paul would hurry on to say to you, let me tell you what is happening. Jesus Christ came into this world and He suffered and died for me, the worst of sinners. And one day, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. He took the initiative. He came to me. And then He wanted my response. And I responded. And I said, I want you, Lord Jesus. I want you in my life. And from that day on, He has been building within me a righteousness. So that when God sees me, He doesn't see all these little things that I've done, that I've worked hard here in the church, and I've done that for my family, etc., etc. But He sees a perfect righteousness that I receive through faith when I become a believer in Jesus Christ. Now that's the first thing He says I want. I want a real, true righteousness that God gives me. And all I have to do is live in His Word and saturate my soul with what He's trying to say to me. And I'll begin to get that righteousness. I'll never attain all of it while I'm here on this earth. That's just the way it is. But people will see, as if that were to mean anything, that there is a difference in my life. I don't do it just to be given a greater satisfying slap on the back by some of my friends or relatives. I do it because that's my desire. I want to be a righteous man that righteousness that comes through faith. When you hear that, friend, why don't you stop trying to build your own righteousness and let God do it as He speaks to you in His Word? Why don't you kind of let go of all of this moralism? Moralism that some people think is really what Christianity is all about. You say, well, moralism is practical. I can understand that. Do something good and that's going to show up too. It's too mystical for me. Too hard to understand. Is it really? Is it any more mystical to say I'm going to every day take out my Bible and I'm going to read it? I'm going to sit alone and meditate on it? And all the time God is pumping those great truths into my soul and moving me to understand what a living personal relationship with Him really is, what the forgiveness of sins is all about? Is it any more mystical than getting a hold of a book or going out and taking a lesson and then practicing in order to become a better golfer or whatever you like to do? Is it any more mystical than how to become successful in business in this day where everything is going quite well, but you never know for how long? Really, why don't you take Paul seriously? What do I want to have happen in my life? A man on death row, old, sick. I got something else I want to have happen. I want to become more righteous, the kind of righteousness that God will give me. Not self-righteousness, just plain righteousness. And then he goes on and he says, you know what else I want? I want to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. Paul had known Christ and lived in a close relationship with him for many years, but he says, I need to know him better. He wanted to be strengthened by the Lord Jesus. He wanted to be one that his life just reflected all that Christ alone could give. That's what he's after. Those two things. I want to have a righteousness that God alone can give me, and I want to know Jesus Christ better. Because when I do that, when I know him better, then I tell you things really begin to change in my life that are exciting. Paul goes on to say, I'm spiritually weak. Now, when you look at his life and you read about it in the book of Acts and other parts of the New Testament, you can't say that fellow is weak. But he says, I'm weak. I'm faced with a lot of challenges. Aren't we? Let's try to personalize this just a little bit. What are some of the challenges that we're faced with? Maybe they are the challenges that to get ourselves established in our work, to take the right courses if we're in college. I am surrounded with grandchildren, and oh man, is it exciting. Because they're good students, and they want to get the best training they can get. And now some of them are out of the universities and graduate schools and so forth, and they want to do well. Sure, I want that, but I want more than that. I want to be a successful physician. I want to be a very, very good business person. I do somehow rather want to get into the government in some way and work. I do want to do this and I do want to do that. And it's hard. I'm trying to establish my own life. And I see how weak I am. And so I say, God, can you help me? Can you help me, God? For there's nothing that I want more than to have you first in my life. As one of my grandchildren said to me not long ago, it all starts at the foot of the cross, Grandpa. Wow. I think I told you that last week. Now I'm telling you that this week. I may tell you that next week. That is the idea. I want to grow to be a person that has righteousness that comes from Christ. I want him to come into my life. I want to know him better. Maybe it's a matter of getting married. Who are you going to marry? Well, take out the word of God and listen to what God says. Be not equally yoked with unbelievers. I'm going to have a husband, or I'm going to have a wife with whom I can share the gospel, share my faith, pray together. Maybe some of you are in the midst of life where you're not too well off, not too well physically. You're suffering some health problems. And we know what it is. We have all kinds of fancy names for it, but the body is wearing out. Okay, say that you're 70 and your body is wearing out. 80, it's really beginning to wear out. Do you ask yourself the question, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? You bet you do. I'm 83. I better ask myself that question every single day when I get up. What do I want to do with the rest of my life? Do I want Christ to come in and make me a more righteous person? Do I want to know him better so that I can be a better witness? A better witness to my friends, a better witness to my family? Ah, let me tell you a story I heard the other day. A friend of mine had gone to visit a family, his own family, his daughter and son-in-law, and their two children. And they were going to be there for a few days, and they didn't see one another very often. So like most old grandpas, they're anxious to be with these kids. And so when the little boy or little girl wants something, here's a dollar here, and here's a dollar there. And finally, one of these grandchildren said to their grandpa, "You're really a rich man, aren't you, Grandpa?" And this person does not pretend that he has a lot of material wealth. But he looked at him, he said, "You know, I am. I'm a very, very rich man." And he took the boy and got him closer to him and looked into his eyes. "I'm not rich like you sometimes think. Oh, I have a few dollars here while I'm with you. But I'm rich because I can live. I can live and be with you. I'm rich because I have a family, and you're a part of that family. Yeah, I'm rich. I'm rich because I have a lot of good friends, and we do a lot of fine things together. But you know, that's not either what I mean when I say I'm rich. I'm rich because I have Jesus. One day Jesus went to a cross and he suffered and died for the sins of the world. My sins, your sins too. And then one day he said to me, "If you'll let me into your life, then I'll forgive all of your sins. And I'll put you right into a personal relationship with me. And you can talk to others about Jesus." And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm talking to my grandson. No one in this world do I love better. I'm talking to my grandson about Jesus, and I'm telling you, you're rich. When Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. And as I listened to my friend share that story with me, there was almost tears running down my eyes, because I'm thoroughly convinced that that little boy who's going to grow up by the grace of God, we pray, and be a successful man, will remember the day that his grandpa came and bought him an ice cream cone, but more than that, told him about Jesus. I want to be a person who knows Christ better, because then I'll get strength. Now then, Paul goes on in verse 12, and he says, you know, I've not obtained all of this. I'm not already this kind of a person that God wants me to be or that I want to be. I often get disgusted with my whole spiritual life. And I think, where am I going? Maybe that's where you are too. I perhaps am speaking to some today who know a lot about Jesus, but you really don't know him. You know that he suffered and died on a cross, and you believe that he did that for you, but you've never, never, never invited him, empowered by the Holy Spirit, into your life. That is yet to come. Wouldn't that be something? If a person who had lived 80 years finally said, you know what I want to have happen in the rest of my life? I want to receive Christ into my life. Maybe you're afraid of a personal relationship with Jesus. You like him a bit distant. You really begin to wonder, is it possible for us to have a personal relationship with Jesus? You bet it is, friend. Read your Bibles. It's all right there. You can't argue that out. You want to be one of his and talk with him many times during the day? Maybe you're saying, I've been too busy to take time out to let him visit with me and in his word. I hardly know how to pray. Why don't you, in the last hours, years of your life, say, God, I want to be together with you. I want you into my life. I want to take my worship seriously. I want to get into some meaningful Bible study with others. I'm not going to quit now. I'm going to take it seriously now. What do you want to have happen for the rest of your life? A better devotional life with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you just want to quit? Well, Paul was sometimes discouraged with his own life, but he was ready to go. And he says, I tell you this, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. I am handling the past in this way that I can forget it. Listen, friend, you can forget the past. Forget that which is not good in your past. It is without a doubt sin, but sin is forgiven. Jesus says again and again, I will forgive you. The Bible says if we forgive our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all of our sins. You and I have a right to forget the past. If we have confessed our sins, they are gone. Don't let the past destroy you. Make the challenges of the future excite you. Don't let the growth and the accomplishment of the past make you satisfied. Don't let them say, well, I believe, and I guess that's all right, isn't it? No, it's not enough. We move on. We move on beyond our baptism, our conversion, our awakenings. We're always pressing on. And that's what God wants to do in our life. I have not arrived, but with God's help, I am on the way. Listen to this once more. Don't let the past destroy you. Your sins can be forgiven in Jesus Christ. Make the challenges of the future excite you. And that's what God had put into Paul's heart. And that's what he puts into our hearts. What do you want to have happen in the days you have left? I hope that you will say with Paul, I want to have a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, and I want to know Jesus better, and I want to share him with more people. Then your life, from now until you breathe your last, is going to be exciting and great in him. Amen.
Yeah. Hear us then as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that your heart has been touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have increasingly become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. Address your letters and gifts of support to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. All gifts are tax deductible. We praise God for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are all available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.